Okay, well, I think I'll get right into the Word. You all ready?
Yeah.
All right, well, turn over to 1 Samuel. I'm going to show you some easy lessons that I've always loved here. I learned from the young life of Samuel. Such a precious, precious young boy, and I think of his mother that had to turn him over to the priest. I mean, she didn't have to, but she promised God, if you give me a child, oh, I'll commit him to your work for the rest of his days. And so I've always, always loved this story in this chapter of 1 Samuel, the third chapter. So I'm just going to learn you or teach you tonight some just, you can underline, make sure you have your pens out. You might want to take notes, or if you underline in your Bible, a few things I'm going to tell you. There's something special I may want to give you at the end on how I've always confirmed hearing the voice of God. And again tonight, I'm just going to take these simple things out of the book of Samuel and show you how little Samuel, just a little boy, heard the voice of God and how he learned to hear the voice of God. So if a little boy can do that, surely God's people can, okay? Because it's one of the biggest, biggest questions I hear is, Pastor, how do I hear God's voice? So we've been talking on it a while, and we may continue for a while, but let me know what you think about it, all right? Let me know if you're learning anything at home. I know many have learned to hear his voice. I don't think we've ever learned to quite be as detailed as we'd like to be in hearing his voice. But for the most part, I think sometimes God's people are pretty happy with seeking his voice simply when they need guidance, when you need the Lord to lead you in a certain way, or we're struggling with something, then boy, we really want to hear his voice. We start praying, oh God, what would you say about this? What do you want me to do? And we start to talk to him then. But see, God wants us to hear his voice all the time. All the time. So let's go there tonight. Let me just read, three or four verses. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. We'll start there. I'll see where we stop. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. I'm sorry, I'm not using a mic. I hope that came across on Facebook. All right. Is that better? Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." And so little or young man Samuel, he runs to Eli the priest in verse 5, and he says, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "No, I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down, verse 6. And then the Lord called again Samuel. And so Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And so the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose, and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as he did at other times. And he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your for your servant hears." And then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold,
Excuse me.
Verse 11. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. That is so important. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I know that was a lot of reading, but it'll be well worth it in the end. Thank you, Brother Randy. I'll take a drink of that right now. Thank you. Okay, I want us to go back and see. Did you notice in chapter 3, verse 1 is really amazing. It said that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Isn't that something? I'm sure glad we don't live in that day. The word of the Lord is not rare in this season. The word of the Lord is everywhere. My goodness, we got churches. We have 40 churches in our little city and surrounding areas. And the word's on, how many networks do you get at home? My goodness, I get 15 probably or 20 really good Christian networks. So the word is not rare in our area. And it says there's no widespread revelation. Well, we have lots of revelation. Sometimes it's too much revelation. Sometimes it's not God's revelation. Nevertheless, we do have a lot of revelation. And so it says that this boy worked there at a very rare time. There wasn't a lot of the word of the Lord on the earth. And I find verse 7, I'm going to jump down there for a minute because it's very interesting. Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. So this little boy didn't know anything. I mean, he didn't know anything. All he knew to do was serve the priest. He worked in the temple. And he knew how to make the showbread and put the showbread on the table. He did all of the duties to help the priest out. So he knew how to do things. Now listen, folks, if we are not careful, we're inside the church and we learn how to do things. We will know how to sing in the choir. We will know how to sing on the praise team. We will know how to teach Sunday school. We will know how to do certain things that we do. We will know how to pray. We will know how to play an instrument. We will know how to be an usher. We know a lot of things. But it said the word had not yet been revealed to him. And so I want to say tonight, this young man working at this place had humbled himself. He was an humble young man. He served the priest. And he worked very hard at what he did, but had not yet learned for himself. He was simply depending on everything that the priest taught him. And so one of the first things that we can learn in this chapter is to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I really need to hear your voice. I want to hear you. I want to know you. And, you know, little Moses, I mean, I say little Moses, young man Moses was as ignorant as this when he saw the bush burning. And God spoke to him, and the first thing Moses says is, oh God, I can't even talk. I have a stutter, I'm slow of speech, and God had to ask him three times to go for him, but he heard God's voice. And excuse me, Moses was a very humble man. And then Jeremiah, remember when God came to Jeremiah, what did he say? Oh God, I'm just a child. I can't carry this kind of message. All I am is a little boy. I'm just a child. I don't even know how to come in or go out. And I want to tell us tonight, we better not underestimate ourselves. That's not humility. No, it's not about who you are or what you can't do or what you can do and how much money you have or how much education you have. It isn't about any of that which you don't have or do have. God says, you're mine. And I want to speak to you and I want you to hear me. And I want us to be one. And so let's make sure the first step, like this young man, that we are humble before God, not weak. Some people get all mixed up and think humble is being weak. We used to have a young preacher that came here and he would say, you know, really, I'm a very humble man. Don't you think I'm humble, Pastor? I said, no, you're not humble. If you call yourself humble, you're prideful. Okay, so you're not humble. If you think you're humble, you're probably not. Humbling ourselves is saying, God, you're great. And I will do anything that you want me to do. And you can esteem others better than you are. Again, not being intimidated, inferior, but just saying, God, I humble myself before you. Nothing is below me, Lord. Nothing is below me. Nothing's above me. I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I've got. Okay, so this little boy that's not familiar with hearing the voice of the Lord, he hears God's voice nevertheless. And I believe God spoke to him because he was such an humble young man. Because there were other young men working in this temple. I just promise you, there were. But he went to Samuel. And he says, Samuel, Samuel. I mean, nothing else. He just calls his name. And he gets up and he goes to the priest and he said, did you call me? And you know the story. He says, no, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. And so this happened once, twice, and then the third time, the little guy goes back, and let's look at verses 2 and 3. He says, go lay down. Now this one's very important. The first one, I hope you wrote, number one, humble yourself. Number two, I just want you to write down, get quiet. Okay, you don't have to lay down, but just get quiet before the Lord. You really want to hear his voice. All right, I'll read verse 2 and 3 again. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli, look at this, underline, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out, the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel, while Samuel was lying down. Okay, so Eli the priest was lying down, and young Samuel was lying down. And I want you to hear this. It says, while Eli's eyes were going dim. Some of you are getting older and you're thinking, I don't hear the Lord like I used to. No, that's not good. You still hear the Lord. I don't care. We will never quit hearing God's voice as long as we live. Because he loves us and because we love him. So the priest was lying down, son, go lie down. So you got to get quiet. You have to get quiet to hear his voice. There's times where I will sit on the edge of my bed before I lie down at night to go to sleep. And I'll say, now, Lord, I'm going to get quiet here in a few minutes. You know, we chatter. We hear this chatter in our mind all day. We got people in our life. We go to work. We got things to do, people to see, all kinds of things. But there's times where we just have to go into our secret place and sit down a minute and get quiet. If you're praying about something, and then be quiet and listen. And I'll say, Lord, I'm going to go to sleep. I'll be quiet in a few minutes. I'd sure appreciate it if you'd speak to me in my sleep. And while you can have my attention here, would you talk to me? And he talks to us in dreams. And there's sometimes where you wake up in the morning and you have a thought. Sometimes it's a good thought. This morning I wrote on Facebook, it wasn't a very good thought. I woke up thinking, what is this? Something's wrong. Things just don't feel right. And I was just kind of miserable when I woke up. And I'm thinking, what's that about? And so, you know, there's just certain times. Other times you just wake up ready to go. So God then began to speak to my heart about some little simple things. Oh, soul, why are you cast down within me? Well, those were David's words. You say, that wasn't God speaking. That's just a word you knew out of the Bible. Well, yeah, but the Holy Spirit brought it to my remembrance. Yeah. Yeah. When I started feeling that way, and I started feeling really heavy as soon as I got up, I thought, well, look, nothing's changed in my family. Nothing's changed at the church. We're not under any big thing. What's that about? And that simple little words of David came, oh, so why are you so cast down? So he will speak to you and lead you to the word to read. So when you get quiet, expect the Lord to speak. So find you a secret place even during your day and get quiet before the Lord as they did. Now, Samuel also, as you see here, he got into God's presence. You'll notice that it said Samuel was lying down, and Eli was lying down, and I like this in verse 3. Let me go back and grab this right here. This word is so heavy, you could just stay here for weeks. Verse 3, and before the lamp of God went out, the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark was, where Samuel was lying down, you'll see that God spoke. Before the lamp of the Lord went out in the tabernacle. Okay, there's a lot of people today in all this stuff that the earth is groaning about. Remember when we went a few weeks ago and we saw where the Bible says the earth is groaning and the people of God are groaning? And he said, not only that, the Holy Spirit is groaning. So everybody's groaning. And some are even expecting this darkness to grow so big it would put the light of the church out. But I got news for you. The light of the church will never go out. Ever. In fact, it's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. He said, my glory will be seen upon you. Arise, shine. My glory has come. And it said right there, before the lamp of the Lord went out. It's written right there in verse 3. It's the first line if you want to underline it. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. No, it's not going to. But I really felt that I needed to bring this to you this night to hear the word of the Lord. So Samuel had to get back in God's presence like Eli was. Now, where would his presence be for us? For some of us, well, for most of us, his presence, we say, well, he's in the sanctuary at church, yes. But for some, it's on your back porch, out on your patio, you'll meet his presence. In your bedroom, in your favorite chair where you meet with him, or in your prayer closet, wherever your prayer closet is. Some just like to go and sit alone at the lake, and somewhere at a lake or a park, and just get quiet. Maybe you just like to go to a Starbucks or something and just sit there quietly with your Bible. Be quiet. I don't know. But there's a place where you can go. But the best place is to get quiet all alone, just you and Jesus. Now, Brother Rick has said, I like to go to the mountains and get alone with God there. Next week, I'll get to go to the beach. And, oh, I love to see him there. I love to see him in his ocean. I love to see him. So wherever that is, just get into God's presence. That's number 3 that we see here. Just write it down. Get into his presence. Number 1, humble yourself. Number 2, get quiet. And then get into his presence. Just you and he. Nobody else. Just you and him. And then number 4, if you need to, well, do what Samuel did and get counsel. He didn't know how to hear the voice of God. It was rare in those days. There wasn't a lot of revelation. And it said that he hadn't been introduced to the word yet. The word hadn't been revealed to him. And so he goes to Eli, whom he trusted. And he was a mature man. He was a godly man. Go to somebody you could trust. And talk to them. That's why I'm bringing you these messages. And so he went. He went to get counsel. And God spoke to him. He didn't get it at first. He just kept hearing Samuel, Samuel. And he'd go ask, go lay down, and then he didn't hear anything else. How many of you have done that before? You've heard God wanting to talk, and then nothing else. You went back, and then there was nothing else. Well, God, I prayed about this, and you get a little word or a word out of the word, and then nothing else. And so he went back 3 times, and finally Samuel says, well, son, just go back. And lay down. And if you hear him speak again, just say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And then what he was saying was, give him time. Just give him time to speak. Now look at verse 9 with me. I love this. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord. For your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down where? In his place. You know there's a place for every one of us. There's a place. Now you got to get in your place. And I promise you, God will know you're going to be in that place. And he will meet you there because that's just your place. When you
married your husband, your wife, those early days, you remember you had your places that you went to. You had a place. And so he said, now you go lay down in your place. And then it says, if he calls back, but have you ever noticed when God is speaking to you and we're thick-headed and we can't hear? Do you ever notice how that he confirms that over and over? And over. Maybe you got that word in the morning. The Lord spoke a word to you in the middle of the night, or you got it out of your Bible. Then you come to church and I speak on that word and you're like, oh my gosh, Pastor, I just read that this morning, or just yesterday God laid that on my heart. And then you go to work and somebody mentioned it at work, or you turned on Christian TV and somebody said it there, and it's like confirmed. It's like when you buy a car and everybody's got a car like yours. Then suddenly you just see that car all over the place. You didn't see it before, but see, now you're in touch with that car. And so when you get in touch with God and you get in touch with His Word, just like that, it's confirmed all over the place. So hearing the voice of God is not that difficult. In fact, I think sometimes it's so simple that we miss it. And we confuse it with our own voice or somebody else's voice. So he got the counsel. He was a little slow to catch it. But old Eli gave him sound wisdom, didn't he? He gave him sound counsel with it. So it's all right. It's all right to ask somebody what they think. Now, you don't always take every word somebody says. But I believe you can hear from God. I hear from God. I believe that we can all hear from Him. So he went and God in His place. So make sure you go get your place. So humble yourself, get quiet, get into His presence, and get counsel if you need to. I feel like that's what we're doing here on Wednesday nights, is giving counsel on hearing the voice of God. And then, I kind of jumped ahead a minute ago, but what we need to do is develop or get in the practice or get into the habit of hearing the voice of God. Just get into the habit of saying, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I'm listening to you, Lord. Just speak. When you're driving your car down the street, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And you weren't praying. You weren't talking to Him about anything. But you're like, Lord, if you've got anything to say to me, just lay it into my heart. And because I want to hear it. So get in that habit of saying, speak, Lord. And then in verse 10, look at this, you guys, this is so powerful. Verse 10, get your pens out here. Now the Lord came and stood, look at this. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, just like He did before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, just like the priest told him to, speak, for your servant hears. And he said, oh God, just speak to me. God speaks this very, very prophetic word. What did He say? Look at it. I'm going to read it one more time. Verse 11. And then the Lord said to Samuel, why would He say this to such a young man? He says, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Does anyone believe that God's going to do that today? I think that's one of the reasons I'm bringing you this message. We must hear what the Lord is saying. I think Peggy was telling me that Robert Morris was teaching this word. In fact, I think it went on, he had that book Frequency, and he went off on that a couple of years ago. And I'm going to tell you, God has messages that He puts out at certain seasons, because I believe when God speaks, when all this mess is over and all this gross darkness has covered the earth, that the ears of people that are shouting out lies and vicious, vicious anger and hate and threats, I believe their ears are going to tingle at what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And you better pay attention, because you may carry that very word very simply to your family, and to your friends, and to the people you work with. You weren't even intending to prophesy. But this spirit of prophecy that's coming on the earth, and believe me, it will be a spirit of prophecy. It will not be a general little word. It won't be this. It won't be anything like, see, this is what we've been used to for the past 30 years. God showed me that you've been having trouble for the last 2 years in your life. Duh. We've all had some kind of trouble for the past few years in our life. You want to hear something that nobody else knows but you and God. And do you know that is the very thing that gets people saved and gets people free? Is when somebody says that, something that nobody else knows. And when they hear that, you better hear what he's saying. If this is messed up, Brother Rick, please. Whenever something is going on in your life, I want to hear the Spirit of the Lord say, in fact, one time, let me give you just a personal example. My husband and I were praying about something, and our baby was very young, and we were praying for, well, I won't tell you what we were praying for, but we were going to take a little trip, all right? And so I had been praying and praying, and we were up against the wire. It's almost time for us to leave, okay? But what we had prayed for hadn't come in. And there was no way we could go without that coming in. All of a sudden, a precious woman of God, she's about 75 years old, she called me and said, "Sister Paulette, what is Brother Rick looking for?" I said, "What do you mean, what is he looking for?" She said, "Well, I saw him in an open vision." She says, "A pastor had picked me up for a service. He's taking me down the highway in his car, and I look out, there's an open vision, and there's Brother Rick." She said the hood was raised on the car, and he was looking for something underneath the hood of the car. And I said, "Well, we were praying for this." And she says, "Well, can you come to my house? I live in Ivanhoe, and as quickly as you can get to my house, I'll have that ready for you." I said, "It's 11:30 at night." "That's okay. God told me to meet the need, so you come over here." And at 3 o'clock in the morning, we were on our way. So the Spirit of the Lord will hear, but I'm saying those are the kinds of messages. It's going to be an absolute, thus saith the Lord. It's not going to say you've been having a few troubles for the last 2 years. And you know what? It's going to come out of your mouth. This is going to make your ears tingle and my ears tingle and your relatives. See, sometimes it's your relatives are the last ones to hear what you have to say. Though that troubled child, what's going to happen when it just comes out of your mouth? Something that you had no idea about and they know you didn't. Or when that little grandchild crawls up in your lap and says, "Papa, thus saith the Lord." Or, "Grandma, this is what Jesus said." And it's right on. And this is when you start hearing the voice of God. These things will come down through your generations of time, and he will begin to speak. But let me say this. Little Samuel heard this prophetic word, and then you can read the rest. And he had to give it to Eli. Listen, it did make their ears tingle, and then the rest of it really didn't help Eli at all. He's like, "I'm going to have to deal with him for the way he's raised his sons." But God did not speak to this young boy, Samuel. He didn't speak to him while he was praying. Didn't speak to him while he was singing. He didn't speak to him while he was talking. He didn't talk to him while he was worshiping. He talked to him while he was quiet. Wasn't praying, wasn't talking, wasn't doing any of the above that we're trained to do all the time. Every now and then we just need to be quiet. And stop praying just for a moment. After you've talked to him, well, just be still. And see what he has to say. Because God said, he's not going to speak while we're talking. Why would he want to talk while we're talking? Yeah. Why would he want to speak while we're not listening? Yeah. So if your mind is all full, you're running down the highway. I'm not saying you can't listen to the radio. But I'm just saying if you've got the radio blasting all the time, or your TV blasting, and something always going on, how are you going to hear him? Another thing that was on my heart yesterday that I believe the Lord put there
was out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want to ask us tonight, because I believe the Lord was asking me, what is your heart full of? What is your heart full of? I thought, well, Lord, my heart right now is pretty full of concern. It can get pretty full of stress and worries and concern about the church, about this, about that. And he said, you can't go there. You can't go there, because out of your heart are issues of this life. And I need your heart to be empty so I can fill it up with my love. I want to fill up your heart with my love and with my peace. But see, if our hearts get filled with concern and worry and stress, and Jesus talked about that in Matthew over and over and over, he said, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And I believe one reason he was saying that is because I wanted just to empty it out. I was praying tonight before I came. I thought, God, one of the greatest things we could do is if we could just empty our hearts so that you could just fill up our hearts with your peace and your joy and your strength. How he wants to help this earth. How he wants his people to rise up. So just get ready, church, to act on what Jesus says. That's the last one I'm going to give you. Number 7, just act on what Jesus has to say. When he speaks now, as I said, it's pretty easy and it's very exciting. He will lead us and he will guide us. But just get ready to do what he says. Say, Lord, when you speak to me, I'm going to do that. Now, the very first time we heard his voice is when we came to know him as Lord. He convicted us. What was the first thing you thought of when you were being saved? I'll tell you what it was. And there was one word. And the reason you thought of that is because he was speaking it to our heart and to our mind. And that was forgiveness. The first thing you thought when he drew us to him was, ooh, I need to repent of my sins right now. And we begin to cry our eyes out and repent of our sins. Why? Because he gave us that word, repent. We didn't know anything about that. Especially those who were out in the world the whole time. No, so he gives us these words. Then he expects us, then there's times where he will ask you to do something, put a word in your heart, and then you will ignore it. Ignore that. Ignore it. And you notice how he keeps coming back? It'll be a still small voice. And it'll come back again. And it'll come back again. And I'll never forget Tommy Barnett. Tommy Barnett had the largest, he was, I think, the largest church in America back in the 70s probably. But I'll never forget, long before I was even in ministry, I went to one of his pastor's conferences. Oh, and I just ate up everything I could learn. And I went to that with a few people in the church, and our pastor wanted us to go out there if we were on, you know, teaching staff or anything. And he taught us this. He said, listen, when you have a dream from God, that dream will always be bigger than anything you can accomplish. And it will always follow you. It will follow you all the days of your life. And I think of the Tule River. When you drive up towards Springville and up around the reservation, and you come down, you see, you can follow that river all the way down. And then you lose track of it. About the time you get to J Street, you don't see the river anymore. Why? It goes under the earth. And then you'll catch up again with it somewhere else. And Tommy Barnett said this. He said, though you have a dream in your heart, and that dream stayed on you, and you thought, I'm going to accomplish that. One day this is going to be my future, my destiny. And it was so big, and it was bigger than anything you could imagine. Yet you knew God had put that in you. Then you lose track of it. You got married, or the kids came along, or trouble in the family, whatever happened, and or you just, other things entering in, you forgot about it. But he said, if it's God, it'll come back. And you'll see it again. And pretty soon it rises up in you. And it's bigger. It's so big. Always bigger than anything you can accomplish.
and it never goes away. It'll always, always follow you. So I just wanted to tell you tonight that God helps us make quality choices, not just a good choice. Man, we don't need to just make good choices. I want to make the best one, don't you? The quality choice. There's times where maybe you want to get a car, but you want the right one. I've heard him say, no, not that one. Unless you want that one or you want the best one? No, get another one. So I don't know how a God like him, a great creator, would want to even, why would he want to have anything to do with people like us? Just little people, like little people on earth. But he said, no, I want to talk to you. I want you to be my friend. I created you for this. Now, let me leave you with this. I told you I wanted to add this. This is something I learned a long time ago. I don't know where I learned it. I don't know if God just gave it to me. But somewhere, this has been a part of my life. And I'm sure I've told you before, but this will fit right here. So I want you to hear this too. Whenever you're seeking God's will, let's say some of you are, you know, you're looking for a way to go. You're seeking God for your future, your career, whatever you're going to do, what job you're going to have, where you're going to work, who you're going to marry, whatever it might be. There's three things that I've always had working together. Number one, you need the word on it. Well, if it's concerning a job, you've got the word. If you don't work, you don't eat. You know, if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. So, you know, so we've got the word on that. Okay, but let's say, can I use you for an example, Russell? You're a young man. Let's say you get this offer. You get this offer that somebody wants to take you to Oregon, and this company is offering you this huge job. And they're going to give you a brand new truck to drive, and they're going to rent your house. They're going to give you a home to live in, utilities paid, insurance paid. I mean, just an awesome package. If you'll just come, take your brand new family, move to Oregon, the pay's going to be amazing. The insurance package is all going to be good. And you're like, wow, Brittany, look at this. You're all jazzed about that. So you got the word, and the circumstances couldn't be any better. I mean, that's huge. But then you've got to have the third thing that works, and that's the confirmation in your heart. And that's where God comes in. God's in every one of these. But you've got to have the confirmation there too that this is right. So, but you've got to have all three of these working together. Okay, you must have all three. So let's say they feel really, really good about this job. Okay, so they run up to Oregon. They're going to check it out. And they get up there. And the boss over the entire company, he says, well, look, we've hit just a little snag. It's still going to work. But we don't have your home yet. And the insurance won't be able to start for 6 months. Okay, so now all of a sudden, the circumstances aren't right. Okay, so you had the word, you felt good about it, but now the circumstances got mixed up. So if somebody doesn't keep their word, you can't do that. Leave it alone. Okay, let's turn it around the other way. Let's say you got up there and everything was right. Everything they said they would do, they're going to do. It's perfect. And yet, you and Brittany are driving home in your truck and you're like, you know, I just don't feel good about that. She says, I don't either. I don't know what it was. We're probably crazy for not taking that job, but I don't know. There's just something about it. It's not right. It's not right. And can I tell you, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right for you. If it doesn't feel right, it's just not. So you can never have one of those three missing. Okay, let's say if you had the circumstances and you didn't get a check and everything worked right. You had the word, then go for it if that's what you feel. But let's say you had everything working but the word and something came up in the word that said, don't do that, then I would leave it alone. So you see, it's not as hard as we think as long as we let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any questions or anything? Okay, we got comments and questions. We'll do that after the camera goes off. Would you stand on your feet, please? In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. I praise you, Lord. It is a mighty word. And Lord, we know you want to speak to us. You love your people. You have relationship with us. You enjoyed walking in the cool of the evening with Adam and with Eve. And whoo, you enjoyed that so much. And then one day they said, Lord, we were afraid. Lord, we don't ever want to be afraid to talk to you. We don't want to ever be afraid that we've done something and we've got to crawl into your presence. Never. You said come boldly into the throne room to find grace to help you in time of need. Lord, I promise you, I will do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so will these. I know these people. We love you with all of our hearts. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine on you, be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance toward you and give you peace and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.